Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. I'm not going to preach a full message, but I do want to lift up one thought for you to carry you through this week. Amen. Before we go, and then in a moment, we'll sing our way out. Amen. If you have your Bible, I'm in Galatians chapter 5, and I want to lift up one verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, if you have your Bible. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Would you say that with me? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This morning, we feel the presence of God. This morning, when we gather in this room and we worship, we sense the strength and the power of God. And in an atmosphere like this, isn't it easy to believe that God can do anything and that He's got everything in His hand and that we're going to be okay? Amen? It's easy to believe that. And yet, if all of us are honest, sometime about 2 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, when we're not feeling what we're feeling right now, and the circumstances look grim, and the problems are looming large, we will find it a lot more difficult in that moment to hold on to the confidence we have right now and to keep believing and trusting and obeying and doing all those things that we're called upon to do. I want to tell you today, there is a key for us as the people of God, and that key is found in this one little phrase, walk in the Spirit. Say it with me. Walk in the Spirit. Many times our problem, I think, as Spirit-filled Christians, is we want to reduce everything to a step. Say a step. We like steps. We like steps in the church of God. Amen. I grew up in a church that testified, thank God I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, a member of the great church of God, and on my way to heaven. Amen. We love our steps. We get saved. And then we make a full surrender of our heart and begin to walk in victory. And then we're baptized in the Holy Spirit and begin to operate in His gifts and power. And we love those steps and we love to check those boxes, don't we? We enjoy that. We like steps. But I want to tell you, a step is not enough. Say that with me. A step is not enough. And if there is a problem that I think many of us have as Spirit-filled Christians, it is simply this. We lean too much on a past encounter. Did you hear me? We lean too much on a past encounter. If you were to ask many Christians, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Notice how I phrase that. Not have you been, are you? The question in the New Testament is not, have you been, were you? The question is, are you? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? It is a present question. It is a present tense verb. When Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5 and 18, he says, do not be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That verb's an interesting verb. It's a present tense verb. It means right now. It's not enough to lean on a past experience. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit initially when I was 12 years old. It was a glorious experience. I can tell you all about how God met me at the altar that night in a little church in Kosciuszko, Mississippi. But I want to tell you, if that was my last encounter with the Holy Spirit, I'm in trouble today. I'm in trouble because I may have got filled in 88, but I would have leaked out by 89, amen? And I need a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. We are called to be filled with the Spirit, and that is a present tense verb. It's right now. Not only is it present tense, but the understanding of that word in Greek is this. It's continuous action. Say continual. It's not being filled in the sense of, I filled your cup and now you've got the water. That's really not a good analogy. That's not the way this works. A better understanding of being filled with the Holy Spirit, I think, is one that I saw this week while we were at Panama City Beach with our kids. One day we went out and there was a catamaran, a sailboat out on the water. And he didn't have any other engine running. He had his sail up and he was harnessing the power of the wind to move that boat through the water. I want to tell you, when we ask, are you filled with the Spirit, I want you to stop thinking about, does my glass have the water? And I want you to start asking the question, is my sail filled with wind? Because to be filled with the Holy Spirit is a moment by moment continual reality where we are adjusting our lives to the wind of the Spirit. You catch the wind, and then you keep the wind. Amen? Now, you catch the wind when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful thing. But then you've got to keep the wind. As the wind moves and blows, the man has to move and adjust that sail. He's constantly correcting in order to keep that sail filled with wind to propel that boat forward. This is what Paul says in Galatians 5 and 16. It's not enough that you receive the Holy Spirit back there somewhere in your history. He says, are you presently walking in the Spirit? At the close of this passage, down in verse 25, he will say, since we live by the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. The NIV says it this way, and I think it's spot on. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Say, keep in step. That's this idea of adjusting our sails. We have to constantly keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is not one step, it's many steps. Walking in the Spirit means we are constantly adjusting our life. We are following the footprints of Jesus. We are walking in the way He lays out for us in His Word. And as we do that, we experience His supernatural power. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. At first reading, it sounds like a commandment, doesn't it? Walk in the Spirit. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want you to notice, it's not a commandment. Put that verse up there. Go ahead to the slide you have next. I want us to see this verse. Verse 16, chapter 5, verse 16. The one you had on the screen. Under empowered to grow. Pop that verse up. There it is. Notice this. Read that verse again. Read it with me. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's not a commandment. What is it? It's a promise. Do you see it? It's a promise. It's a statement of fact. It's not walk in the Spirit, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. God's not fussing in this verse. God is offering you something in this verse. Do you see that? Walk in the Spirit, and what'll happen? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not find yourself falling over and over in the areas that you used to fall. You will not find yourself victim to the enemy like you've been victim to the enemy in the past. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh if you will walk in the Spirit. That's what will happen for you. So I want to urge you today to make a commitment this week. I'm going to live the Spirit-filled life. It begins with a step. Be filled with the Spirit. But it continues with a walk. Walk in the Spirit. I'm not here to ask you today simply, has there ever been a time in your past when you were filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm here to ask you today, are you living a Spirit-filled life? Are you walking? Are you keeping in step? Is your sail catching and keeping the wind of the Holy Spirit as you make the adjustments you need to make on a day-by-day basis? If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will keep God's law of love. If you walk in the Spirit, you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. But the key is staying in tune with the Holy Spirit. Pastor, what's the bottom line? Put it on the bottom shelf for me. Here it is. Many of us as Christians believe in grace to get us saved. We believe, we understand, We are powerless apart from God's help to save ourselves. We understand we are dead in sin, and apart from the grace of God, there is nothing we can do to bring us into a right place with God. And so we understand that. So we believe in the grace of God. We fall down at the foot of the cross and we say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, forgive me of my sin. Lord, cleanse my heart. Lord Jesus, come and live in me by your Spirit, and I'll be a different person. We understand at the beginning that we are saved by grace. We start by grace. Say that with me. We start by grace. And yet, one of the things you'll find in Galatians, the book we're studying out of this morning, is that what the Galatians fell into the trap of was the same thing that I feel like many of us fall into the trap of. They believed that they started by grace, but then they had to do it from then on. All right, God forgave me. God brought me into His family. He's pardoned my past. God's given me a second chance. Now I better get it right this time. That's not it. And that's not how it works. And we will never experience the victory we've sung about this morning if we try to finish in our own strength what began by the power of God in our lives. He says, are you so foolish, Galatians? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? In other words, you started out doing this thing by the power of Jesus, by the grace of God, by the strength of the Holy Spirit. But somewhere along the way, we shift gears, we lose the wind in our sail, and then what do? Well, we do what most people do when they lose the wind in their sail. We grab a boat paddle. And we start paddling, and we start swinging the paddle, and we start trying in our own strength. And all of a sudden, what happens? We don't make much progress. We don't gain much ground. The wind is against us, and we're out there struggling in our own strength, and we feel like we're failing God. We feel like we're not gaining ground or walking in victory anymore, and we're just paddling as hard as we can. And we come back to church and say, oh God, I'm paddling as hard as I can. Will you give me strength to paddle harder? And God says, I have a better idea. Why don't you put the paddle back in the boat? And why don't you lift the mainsail of your life? And why don't you catch a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit's power? Because the way you started this thing, depending on God's grace, leaning on the Holy Ghost, the way you started this is the way you're going to continue it, and it's the way you're going to finish it. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Instead of fighting so hard against the wrong things, why don't you let God fill your life with the right things? Amen. You know, whenever I leave a council meeting on Monday nights, my council laughs at me because I have a tradition after a late council meeting. I stop at one place on the way home. It's usually because it's the only place open that late. But I stop there, and it's the only time I crave them. If you're on my council, where do I stop every Monday night after a council meeting? Crystal, that's right. They know me so well. Roy met me there one night at the Crystal. He met me there. Crystal. You know what? That's not a good, healthy option, is it? But I'm hungry, and I'm empty, and it's available, and so I reach for that. Amen. But you know what? If somebody had a nice grilled chicken breast with some asparagus on the side and waiting on me when I got ready to have that council meeting, waiting at the door, here's your box, Pastor. You know what I probably wouldn't do? I probably wouldn't drive through Crystal. Because when you're full of the right thing, you aren't tempted to reach for the wrong thing. And instead of laboring against the flesh, instead of fighting the bondage, instead of trying so hard in your own strength to grit your teeth and resist the temptation to your past addiction or your past bondage or whatever it might be, instead of trying in your own strength to fight the devil harder, instead of trying in your own strength to not doubt but believe, instead of trying in your own strength to fight the good fight of faith and press on through, instead of gritting your teeth and trying harder, God says, put the boat back in the paddle, throw open the sail of your heart, and let me fill you fresh with the wind of the Holy Spirit today. Are you living the Spirit-filled life? How do you know? One of the main ways you know is this. If you are exhausted, if you are worn out, if you feel like you are laboring in your own might and strength, and you're not experiencing the victory in the things God promised, then that's a good sign you're doing it in your own strength, and you're not doing it by the Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit is able to strengthen you. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will obey God's commands. Walk in the Spirit, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. Walk in the Spirit, and you will find that the Spirit produces in your life love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. Are those things blooming in your life? Oh, Pastor, I'm trying to work on those things. There it is again. Your responsibility is not to try to work on those things. Your responsibility is to walk in the Spirit. Your responsibility is to stay full of the Spirit. Your responsibility is by faith to lean back on the power of the Holy Ghost. Your responsibility is to keep your sail adjusted so that you catch and keep the wind of God's Spirit. Your responsibility is to walk in the Spirit, to walk in obedience, to walk in the steps that God would have you to walk in. And what is God's responsibility? God's responsibility is to make this not a command but a promise, to strengthen you, to empower you, to give you victory, to show you strength, to let you see that all of a sudden you aren't desiring what you used to desire because the Spirit is giving you new desires, to see that you're able to respond in a different way, not because of you, but because of Him on the inside of you, and you've allowed Him to operate and manifest in your life. Are you living a Spirit-filled life? I didn't ask you, did you have a wonderful emotional experience sometime 15 years ago or even a year ago? I'm asking you about your current reality. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It is a present tense question. Are you filled? It is a continuous action. Be continually filled with the Spirit. And lastly, that is a commandment. Say a command. Again, we get it wrong. The command is not, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is not a cause, that is an effect. The way you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh is by walking in the Spirit. The command for us as Christians is not, try harder to resist the flesh. You can do that if you would like. I'll tell you what your results will be. They won't be very stellar, because you don't have the strength to do that on your own. You didn't before you got saved, and you still don't. But one thing you can do, and it is the command of God, and that is you can be filled with the Spirit. Amen. I want you to stand with me all over God's house. I want them to sing the song that they planned for us to sing to close with today. We will unpack this topic more next week as we get deeper into it. But this morning, in this atmosphere, I've simply got a question for you. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Not asking about your past. I'm asking about your present. Are you walking in the Spirit? If not, why don't you step into the flow this morning? Why don't you open the main sail of your heart and say, Lord, one more time, I want to catch and keep the wind of the Spirit of God. They're going to lead us in a song about the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit this morning. And I want you to sing it with them. And I want you to, if you want to come and pray, I invite you to come again and pray. I invite you right where you stand to lift your hands and say, Lord, fill me fresh with your Spirit. Will you bow your heart with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the sweet move of your Holy Ghost in this house today. Lord, I thank you for your direction. And Lord, I just believe you this morning that God, there's some people in the room who have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe they need that for the first time today. Lord, you want to do that. Lord, I thank you that there are some people in the room today, though, who somewhere in the past, they were living a Spirit-filled life. And somewhere on the journey, they believed the lie that though they started by grace, they've got to finish by their own power. They've got to just slog it out in their own strength. Father, I pray today that you'd help them see that isn't true. It isn't so. Lord, forgive us for trying to do this in our own power, our own might. It's not by might. It's not by power. It is by your Spirit, says the Lord. Let us believe you today. And Father, I pray in this room that some people would catch the wind and keep the wind of the Spirit in their sail this week. Lord, I pray for every person right now who's tired and worn out. I pray for every person who mental fatigue has gripped them. I pray for every person who's battling the enemy. I pray for every person who's fighting a long-term sickness. I pray for everyone who's coming up against a recurring temptation or trying to walk in victory over a past addiction. Lord, I pray for them today. I pray for those that are battling anxiety in their mind. I pray for those today who are battling, Lord, doubt and unbelief. The enemy's trying to chip away at their confidence in their God. Lord, I pray for us today. I pray for our church today, God. Holy Spirit, the thing we need most, more than we need you to fix the situation, more than we need you to address the problem, Lord, we need you to help us. We need you to fill us. We need you to strengthen us. Lord Jesus, when you prayed for your disciples, you didn't pray that they would be taken out of the world. You prayed that God's power would keep them right in the middle of the world. Lord, that's our prayer today. Lord, we know that there are some things that can and will change in our lives if we pray. And Lord, we know there are some storms that we've just got to go through. And there are some battles that we have to fight in order to win. We know that. So, Father, today what we're asking you for is something very different. We're not asking you in this moment to do anything about the problems out there. We're asking you, Lord, to fill us fresh with the Holy Spirit so that we might have the inner strength to face and to fight and to win. Lord, fill your people fresh with your Spirit. This is what you did in Acts 4, Lord, when your church faced opposition and persecution and pressure from the world. Lord, they gathered and they worshiped and they prayed, and your word says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the place was shaken, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Lord, give us an Acts 4 moment today. People who know what it is to be filled with the Spirit, fill us again with the Holy Spirit. If you've never been filled, I want you to throw your hands up and say, fill me now. And if you have been, I want you to throw up your hands and say, fill me again. Lord, that's our prayer today. Open your mouth today. Lord, fill us fresh. Fill us again. Let us catch the fresh wind of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, as we sing to you, as we wait on you in this closing moment of the service, meet us here with your power. In Jesus' name, lift your voice. Let's sing. If you want to come pray, we'll pray with you.